Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Hey friends, and welcome to this episode of Now Hear This, Canby podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I'm James Walton, and this is what's happening this week in our community. More than 250 attended an in-person town hall event hosted by Free Oregon at the Canby Grove Christian Camp and Retreat Center last month. It was the second live in-person event hosted by the 501c4 nonprofit, which describes itself as a nonpartisan organization dedicated to preserving civil liberties and has been active in litigation opposing vaccine and mask mandates in Oregon, particularly those involving public schools. Free Oregon is part of a growing movement for change. Angela Todd, the organization's chief communications officer, told Now Hear This, Canby in an email. Our message has been well received as we have more Oregonians join us every day. The December 17th event included a meet and greet involving, quote, several organizations presenting what their organizations are doing to fight tyranny in the state of Oregon, according to organizers, and ended with a panel discussion featuring the group's leaders and others. The group has conducted virtual town hall meetings for months, hosting them each Monday at 5:30 p.m. via Zoom, and has recently added in-person events to the rotation. Previous guest speakers have included Canby attorney and former city councilor Tyler Smith, whom the group describes as its corporate counsel, tasked with exploring lawsuit strategies against the state of Oregon and the Oregon Health Authority for its unlawful COVID-19 mandates. Quote, Free Oregon believes something far more threatening and disturbing is in motion than a virus, Todd said. The pandemic has accelerated and advanced initiatives as the people's constitutional liberties have been ignored. Our freedom now comes with social consequences that affect private citizens' lifestyles, jobs, finances, access, health, and safety. We fight not just for ourselves, but for the future of our children and this country. A former Clackamas County employee convicted of spray painting a Nazi swastika next to a memorial for a black man who died after attempting suicide while incarcerated will spend 90 days in jail after his sentencing this week. Colin Michael Williams, 21, was also sentenced to 60 months of probation and $1,080 in fines at the January 10th hearing. Williams had pleaded guilty in December 2021 to second-degree bias crime, second-degree criminal mischief, abuse of a memorial, and third-degree criminal mischief. He was arrested in August 2021 after police unearthed social media evidence pointing to him as the person responsible for vandalizing a memorial to honor Jermel Madison, a 23-year-old black man who had died of self-inflicted wounds 1 month earlier after attempting suicide while in the custody of the Clackamas County Jail. The memorial had been left at the intersection of Beaver Creek Road and Library Court in Oregon City after an August 6th vigil. Williams had knocked over candles and broken picture frames that contained photos of Madison. Detectives were allegedly able to identify Williams' vehicle and surveillance video in the area of the crime at the time it happened. They also got a subpoena for banking information related to the purchase of the spray paint. Police said they located a video Williams allegedly recorded of himself destroying the memorial while using a fake name with the caption, quote, "I unenthusiastically commit a hate crime." The suspect also posted, "I also spray painted a fun German windmill on the sidewalk for good measure. DM for the pic." At the time, Williams had worked at the Clackamas County for about a year, most recently as an engineering technician for the county surveyor's office with an annual salary of $44,000. He resigned shortly after the arrest while the county was in the process of terminating him. Initially charged with 4 counts and facing a maximum possible sentence of more than 3 years in prison and $20,000 in fines, Williams' third-degree criminal mischief charge was merged into his second-degree bias crime charge. Williams will also get credit towards his probation for jail time served and has been ordered by Circuit Court Judge Cody Weston to receive a mental health evaluation. This spring, Clackamas Volunteers in Medicine, CVIM, is moving its free health clinic to the Clackamas Community College Oregon City campus. Clackamas Volunteers in Medicine facility is the only free medical clinic in Clackamas County. Since 2012, the clinic has provided safety net health care to more than 3,300 people. Many of our patients are essential workers who struggle to make ends meet, and if there was no CVIM, they would have no choice between healthcare and putting food on the table, Martha Spears, CVIM executive director, said. CVIM has been operating out of a converted warehouse since it opened, and now, in partnership with Clackamas Community College, the clinic is moving its operations to a space on campus, a community hub with easy bus access. The new clinic will expand services for patients in need of healthcare while offering training opportunities for Clackamas Community College Allied Health students. By having CVIM on our college campus, not only will our students have easy access to healthcare, but students in our healthcare programs will have access to real-world experience and training at the clinic, CCC President Tim Cook said. The new clinic will be in Claremont Hall, which will be remodeled starting in February. The clinic will have 7 exam rooms, office space, work areas, and consultation space. Funding for this $3 million project comes from multiple sources, including a $650,000 Clackamas County Community Development Block Grant and an $800,000 in American Rescue Plan Act funding allocated by Representative Courtney Neron, Representative Mark Meek, and Representative Andrea Salinas. The Hetherington Foundation for Innovation and Education in Healthcare is providing $700,000 in matching funds, and the Collins Foundation is providing $150,000 to fund a full-time nurse practitioner. CVIM is still fundraising for the full amount needed to complete the project and expand service to the community. For more information about Clackamas Volunteers in Medicine or to donate, visit clackamasvim.org. Cougar Country hometown sports coverage is brought to you by Rife and Hunsicker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. You can call them today at 503-266-3456. And for the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR and Instagram at Cougar Country Pod. With Alex Evans, the Cougar boys basketball team's most experienced player and captain, out for a week due to injury, Canby took care of business nonetheless, downing Scappoose 46-28 and McMinnville 48-44 to improve to 9-4 on the season. While Peyton Myers, who sits at 9th in the state in scoring with 19.7 points per game, managed only half his typical output, With only 10 points against the Indians, he did stuff the stat sheet with 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals. And, as it turned out, Camby would not need the usual offensive explosion from Myers thanks to their masterful defensive performance on Scappoose's home turf. The 28 points that the Indians managed were the fewest Camby had allowed in more than a decade. Evans had been hoping to return in time to play the Cougars' Three Rivers League opener against Tualatin, but both boys' and girls' contests were canceled due to COVID-19 precautions. The next games for both teams would be Tuesday, January 18th at Lake Oswego, which remain on the calendar for now. In wrestling action, the Cougars had a different return to competition than expected. Jumping back onto the mat after nearly a month off for the McMinnville invite, which would become the first tournament of the season to be held without fans. Following new COVID recommendations amid a surge of new infections fueled by the highly contagious Omicron variant, McMinnville High School officials opted to move forward with the competition, but with empty bleachers. While this may have quieted the stands, it failed to deflate the Camby Cougar wrestling team, which roared to yet another dominant performance in the 16-team tourney. The Cougars placed first amongst the field of 16 with 193 total points, beating second place Tillamook by 15. Third place South Salem was even further back with only 144 points, while Sandy placed fourth with 122.5. Ty Ewers, who was the lone Cougar to win his respective weight division. Ewers, who is 10-0 on the season, beat Milwaukee's Theodore Baldwin by a majority decision in the championship round, winning the decision 12-5. Four other Cougars, Thomas Marquez, Ethan Ensrud, Jackson Doman, and Cash Montgomery, made it to the championship round but ultimately placed second. Only one of Camby's 12 participating wrestlers failed to place in the meet. The Cougars will next be in action Thursday with a road duel against league rival Lake Oswego.
Now Hear This, Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This, Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.
And now, a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end of season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman Team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. so it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing, and I've heard it's amazing, and I think there's quite a following. Also, they'll have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
And welcome back to the ad sponsor section, where I get to talk to people about books, because I always drag Megan Waterman in here to be with me. Hi, Megan.
Hi. That's not a bad thing. Talking about books is always the best time.
I think you know of all people that I can talk about books endlessly.
I do.
Yeah. So, Megan, do you want to tell our listeners about what's going on down at the Book Nook?
Oh, at the Book Nook, we are getting ready for the holidays.
Yeah.
I know.
There's only one I care about. And by the time this ad comes out, it's basically over.
Are you talking about Halloween?
Yeah, I like spooky, scary stories.
I know you do. We've got a lot of great spooky, scary stories in right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We do, but spooky, scary stories are also good for Christmas. Do you have a favorite author that writes spooky, scary stories that are appropriate for Christmas?
You go with your classic Charles Dickens, right?
Yep.
Some Christmas Carol stuff.
Absolutely, that's my favorite.
That's the best. There's M.R. James. I know about him. He did a whole series of short, scary stories for
short
Christmas.
Short, scary stories? I don't know. Christmas in general is kind of scary. Depends on how many people you have to buy for.
How many people you have to cook dinner for?
Right.
Speaking of cooking dinner, Thanksgiving is coming up.
Thanksgiving is coming. We have got some beautiful cookbooks in recently, and some really cute kids' cookbooks just came in if you want to start cooking with your grandkids, or starting to train up your little ones to cook Thanksgiving dinner so you can just sit on the couch and watch football.
And right now is the time to go in, right?
Yes.
Because waiting till Christmas Eve for that one special book that someone wants isn't going to work.
It's not going to be there. This year, it's no secret, the last year and a half has been a little crazy for the whole world. And yeah, that is really going to affect Christmas this year. There are going to be serious stock issues this year. So get your Christmas shopping done early. We've been working really hard to get as much inventory on our shelves and in our overstock as possible so that we have what you want at Christmas time. But if you know now a title that you want to buy for somebody for Christmas, get it now. I might not be able to get it later.
And what is all three of ours? Because we also have Amy in the studio with us. What's all three of ours this season's book recommendation?
Okay.
Amy, what's your book recommendation for this season?
The Night Before Christmas.
All right. Yeah, that's classic. Megan?
And for me, my favorite Christmas read? Okay, my favorite book that's coming out it's no secret, I am an Outlander fan. I love Diana Gabaldon. There may be a cardboard cutout of Jamie Fraser in our bookstore. Book boyfriends are a thing.
Yeah.
And finally, book 9 is coming out towards the end of November. So you will not see me until I finish reading that.
And mine is the Dungeons & Dragons Feast of Legends or whatever, the table. So make sure you guys come on down to Book Nook. Megan, where are you guys located?
We are on the corner of Grant and 2nd in downtown Canby.
All right.
Today we're doing one of our favorite things. We're here at Canby High School catching up with some of the students that are part of Canby Theater. We have Bryn Spoon. She is their publicity officer and treasurer for the troupe, and she also plays Cicely in the upcoming production of The Importance of Being Earnest. Hi, Bryn.
Hi.
And we have Connor Morris. He is the student tech director for the production and also the props master. Hi, yep. Connor.
Hi.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. Show's coming along, so we're just happy to be here.
It's been pretty busy, I bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of rehearsals.
It's always, trying to juggle the rehearsals and classwork, obviously, and everything else you guys do.
Yeah, because of our altered timeline with our director situation this year, we started way later than usual. So it has been a very packed production, starting like Thanksgiving break to now, and we're about to air.
Awesome. Well, we definitely want to hear about the show, but why don't you give us an update on that? What's going on with the director situation? That's always been kind of a tough role to fill for the school.
Sadly, we haven't had a ton of opportunities with securing a permanent theater teacher here. So over the summer, we lost our previous director again and had to start. Wonder when that's happened before.
Yeah.
And had to start a late hiring process, meaning that our entire show was delayed. Thankfully, we were able to get some officer input, though, and had our president, vice president, and publicity manager for the Instagram and social media and stuff sit in, and they hired the wonderful Sullivan McIntosh, who's directing this show.
Awesome.
Good feeling that she's going to stick around. She seems really committed, and she's given us a lot of awesome stuff to work with, so that's kind of where we're at now with that.
These productions have always been very student-involved, very student-led. Is that just continuing now, or is it even more so with kind of the dicey situation with the director coming on late?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely bonded our officer board more than they had in the past. We have so many long Zoom meetings, constantly meeting during lunch, planning stuff out. So I think one thing we were really committed to this year, just to secure opportunities, was student leadership. So we really wanted to make sure like every single part had a student that had some sort of say in it.
What do you think has motivated you guys to still kind of push forward despite the challenges to want to put on a show?
I think theater really just is a love for all things related to the arts.
Yeah.
And the moment you start, you either love it or you don't. Like, it's something you realize very quickly. So I think everyone knew it was something we constantly wanted to be like working towards. But then the situations related to COVID, having to close shows, canceling performances, things like that, I think it inspired us to just work with every minute we've got, whether that means putting on a Zoom production of The Cinnamon Bear or showing up masked every day for something like this.
Absolutely. Connor, what have been some of the challenges you and your team have seen on the back end in putting the show together? Is that the reason you're kind of wearing multiple hats as well?
We definitely had a body lack this year. The show luckily doesn't have too much on the tech side, but having such a tight schedule of designing the set, building the set, getting all the props ready, getting people's costumes ready, like that alone takes a while. Not having really the design time, I'm insanely impressed at how fast people are putting this together. Like it's just flowing really well.
Awesome. Yeah, that's one of the benefits of picking a 19th century, early 19th century show, right? Early 20th century show, is that there's a little bit less special effects, right, than a newer show. I did want to ask about that. So, the past few years that we've been covering you guys and covering your productions, there's been, obviously, you do musicals. There's been a lot of kind of 70s, 80s era musicals. You've done Grease. You've done Little Shop of Horrors. I'm not sure, at least in recent years, that I've seen you guys do something from this era, something sort of Victorian and classical, like the importance of being earnest. What was the thinking behind diving into that period of literature and
So I think part of it, obviously, shows can cost a lot of money depending on what you do. So we were looking for something affordable and fun that people would care about. And in our school's Brit Lit classes every year, we get the chance to read The Importance of Being Earnest. And I remember I remember sitting in my teacher's class and reading it, and I actually read for the character that I play now. And I was like, this show's funny. I like this. So then when we had no director and had to start planning for the year, what do a whole bunch of high school juniors and seniors know about high-end production? So we started coming up with lists that we knew that we would be able to do, and something like The Importance of Earnest has public licensing and was just charming enough that we thought students would come see it. So we were like, that's a good pick. And Sullivan has a love for things that are a little older set in time. She's done a lot of Shakespeare stuff, and since we didn't want to do Shakespeare,
that would be
this was a solid middle.
In between, awesome. Connor, I heard you kind of chime in there a little bit. You read this play as well, kind of resonated with you.
It's a lovely play. I do love reading it. It's better hearing it though. I have to say, it's like Shakespeare. You don't read Shakespeare, you don't read this play, like seeing it firsthand is so much better.
Do you find parallels or kind of themes that resonate with you, even though this was obviously written in 1895 or whatever, that still kind of apply to these times or just the time of life that you guys are in?
Yeah, I mean, the entire show is kind of just about like the unexpected. It's the story of a guy who's come up with a lie that backfires and all the chaos that comes from that. So I think we resonate a lot with like our entire lives constantly changing, just like every time one of the two characters has to be like, well, this is my story now, and it doesn't quite line up the way you expected. There's a lot of fun twists and turns. And then also it's just nice to take some breaks and laugh, and I feel like that show has a lot of this. It could be a much serious, darker story, but Oscar Wilde happily did not take it that path.
And I think even contemporarily, like, folk kind of talked about how it really was just a fun, like, funny show, and unlike some of his other works, like, he didn't seem like he did really kind of dwell or dive deep into kind of social issues, which I think has helped make it one of his most timeless things.
Well, I think, ironically, like, the whole story is kind of just mocking rich people, so it's really fun with what they can do with that, because the entire story is a take on privilege, it talks about debt, it talks about mistakes that people have made in their past. There's characters that started from nothing, that were poor, that grow on to be like the most obnoxiously set rich person in the show. So I think it was kind of his take on like capitalism, the musical, except for it's not a musical, but like it would be if...
The comedy.
The comedy, Do you guys feel as teenagers and high school students and brand new, where you're saying kind of made me wonder if this was where you're going with it, but it sort of feel like you guys wear different roles or kind of have to be different people at different times.
Yeah, I mean, all the characters are extremely like diverse in the way they function. They'll talk about that a lot, like they'll make decisions that seem completely out of character for them just because they can. But like, it's actually kind of funny because I'm the only person in the show who plays a person that's our age. My character's 18 and I turn 18 in less than a month. And everyone else is like mid-20s and older. So it's a little hard for me to speak on that, but I think a lot of them make very young and human mistakes, which we're able to dive into.
What are your thoughts on that, Connor? You said that you definitely feel like that rings true.
Yeah, it's very real. I mean, everyone has their home life and their school life or their work life. Like, everyone is typically quieter on their own, and they put on this front for the show, for school. Like, you can definitely make the parallel between them. And even in the characters, you see, like, Jack, you have Ernest. Like, there's the two personalities that are similar.
They're very different.
They're very similar, but they're very, very different.
They look really similar.
Spoiler alert.
We spent a lot of the rehearsal period going over, like, how your character shifts. Like, for example, I have this, like, 10-minute scene where the entire time all we do is talk passive-aggressive to each other. So you have to set up your character naturally, how they just are as a person, like what you would be doing in your free time, and then the way that you would act in upright society, the way you act when you're with a person you trust a lot. Like, our characters are falling in love and fighting the entire show, so it was a lot of, like, how am I in this situation? How is my character? Like, where's that line between?
Are there changes that have been made or updates to the script from the kind of original and classical production, or is this pretty true to?
A lot of the lines follow the classics, but there's a few things where, like, we'll cut stuff because it doesn't make sense. The show is very long, too, and it's split into three acts, so there was a lot of going through our script and going, this doesn't matter, this doesn't matter, and then, of course, you've got some, like, I don'ts and I can'ts, which you wouldn't have seen in 1895, but we've got in there now.
Right. Yeah, I think they got paid by the word back then. Dickens and some of these folks are just huge. Connor, I'd love to hear more about kind of the tech side and what that looks like. I know you mentioned that it's been kind of made more simple or kind of pared down a little bit, but what are some of the major things? Obviously, costumes is a big thing, I believe.
Yeah, so costumes, we have our props board, making sure everyone has time-era-specific, realistic props, making sure they're fitting in with the rest of the set that was designed by our lovely Allie.
Make sure you have the right iPhones from that time.
They did an amazing job with that. But then you got to make sure that, like, it smooth transitions, it's not going to be too blocky.
What about the set?
The set itself, like I said, was designed by Ali. Pretty much everyone helps out building those. We have work parties. As student tech director, it's kind of my job to oversee that.
Yeah.
Me and our actual, like, what's his title? It's
technical director.
Technical director.
I think
it's literally just technical director.
Go
but
Jared.
He does everything. He's the god of the FAC.
Mm-hmm.
me and him
so
are.
That's what that altar is over there. No.
Kind
yeah,
of.
You
yeah.
hear that jingling
he deserves
in the
one.
Background. It's
yeah.
heaven's calling upon him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
But yeah, we help oversee that. He'll make sure everyone knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a beautiful set.
Yeah,
like
it sounds like it's pretty involved. It's not like scaled back necessarily.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Ali went all out on that.
Nice.
Like, yeah, no, their vision on it was insane.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And it
quite,
was so
quite a few
quick.
Changes are there for the settings?
So we have two different house settings and a garden setting.
Yeah.
So we had to make sure the houses looked very unique themselves and then also bring the garden to life, but keep it in the same like space realism,
mm-hmm.
which was a really, really cool like effect how they ended up doing it. But yeah, no, they came, like I said, we had such a short time schedule and they were so on top of like getting the drawings in like right away and having such detail. It was so amazing.
Yeah. Bryn, can you tell us a little bit more about the rest of the cast, who's in it? And
yeah, I mean, so it's a very small show. We've
yeah.
got 9 actors and 2 swing understudies, but everyone's just crazy committed. It's a majority seniors, or I guess not a majority. I'm trying to do the math in my head. There's like 5 seniors and 6 juniors and underclassmen. And yeah, I think everyone's just having a blast. Part of what's so cool about a small group is that we all got to work with each other in so much detail.
Yeah.
Like we have a lot of, okay, Gwendolyn and Cecily in this room, Algernon and Jack in that room. So we all just really got to dive into our characters in a new way. But like our troop president, Stephanie Haynes, who's a sweetheart and the amazing Lady Bracknell in this show, like is committed to going on to theater at Southern Oregon, which is cool. So I think a lot of us have a passion for it that we can't wait to pursue. 3 of us just got accepted into Southern Oregon University and are all texting each other like, woo, theater program, please accept us now.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really passionate group. Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. And I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, just the, because I mean, maybe it's happened at some schools, it wouldn't necessarily be unheard of or surprising with all the challenges with COVID and everything to sort of see things like theater kind of fall by the wayside until things normalize a little bit. And as you say, that hasn't happened here in Canby. It's been virtual, it's been mm-hmm. very different, it's been without audiences at times. It was in Craig Hoffman's garage on YouTube at one point, but it's continued and that clearly seems to come mm-hmm. through in that passion that you guys just have.
Yeah, I think one thing our directors can speak on is the fact that it's just such a committed group. Like the officers, for example, we spend all those hours on Zoom planning things, and they're like, remember that you guys are human. Like there's only so much we can do, especially during a pandemic. But
yeah.
I just don't think we've let it slow us down. We're trying so hard to fit in everything we can and give all the opportunities. Like sadly, it's hard to be able to fit in a musical in this time and then get in senior one acts and do traditions and have cast parties and then you've got to be following guidelines.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a lot of, you know, watching other schools lose theirs has inspired us more than anything to like hold on with that death grip. They'll have to pry it out of our hands if they want it.
Yeah, yeah. What do you hope that folks that are able to come and see you guys take away from this production?
You know, I hope that they see to not take things so seriously all the time. Obviously, there's a lot of hate and darkness and scariness in the world right now that's we can just see on the Facebook groups on here. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
We've all been on Canby now. but I hope they just take away that it's okay to grow and make mistakes and make decisions and be bold, you know, live life on the edge sometimes, see what happens.
Yeah. What about you, Connie?
That was beautifully said.
it's
hard to add to that. It
yeah.
really is. It really is. The whole message I take from it is just have fun and like be true to yourself.
Yeah.
Be true to your own like desires. Like do what makes you happy. And that's what people should do. I mean, right. ultimately,
right.
don't try and put on this fake persona
yeah.
to have fun. You should yeah. be live a happy life on your own.
To me, and you know, especially for you guys in the period of life in which you're in, but really all of us, I really see this message of sort of self-actualization, this idea that no person is sort of fixed and you're just, mm-hmm. you know, however, like you were talking earlier, Brynn, whatever society or class or social yeah. economic status that you were born into isn't necessarily like the end of your story. People mm-hmm. can create, sort of create yourself anew if you desire to do that. So right now we're hopeful that the productions will continue and be open to attendance. There's been no talk at this point mm-hmm. of that changing. So at this point, when can folks come see it?
Yeah, so we open on January 20th, which is a Thursday, and we'll be running through that weekend on the 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
Okay.
We'll be doing 7 p.m. showings, and then on that Saturday, we'll have a matinee, and it'll follow for the same weekend on the 27th through 29th. Okay. So.
Cool. So 2 weekends, which is yep. pretty typical for what you guys do. Ticket mm-hmm. sales at the door, anywhere
yeah.
else?
Yeah, I believe we're just doing ticket sales on the door. Okay. It gets really complicated when schools do online sales.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure everything guideline-wise stays safe. So it's smarter to just do it at the door for us right now.
Yeah.
And it'll be $10 for general admission. And then students K through 12 get in for $8 free with an ASB card.
Yeah. My last question, I always love to ask you guys this. Brynn, what are you, or both of you, but we'll start with Brynn, what are you most excited about for that opening night in your time?
Oh, I've had a lot of opening nights at this point, but I think the thing that always makes me the happiest is just that minute right after the curtain closes when we're all running off stage and like you finally, I know it's a weird way of saying it, but like you feel the pain in your shoes after standing for like 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole time you're up there, you didn't feel any of it and it just kind of hits you and that's there's a rush that just makes you appreciate it more than you can ever describe. And you're all like ready to cry and you're squealing and you just want to get to Denny's. Like, it's just a blast.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately this is our last first show mm-hmm. night of senior
Especially
year.
Both seniors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we'll have the other shows after, but this is like the last first show of the year for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's gonna be surreal. I'm excited to see mainly like everything come together. I mean,
yeah.
like we said, we have the lighting going on stage right now. The tech is being set up. We're working on props backstage right now. Everything is coming together, and I'm so excited to see their like amazing character chemistry mm-hmm. mixed with all of our little tricks to make it look even better.
Yeah,
it's gonna be insane. It's yeah. gonna be crazy.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. I'm really excited. I lied. So that was my last question about important being earnest. But thank you for reminding me. Looking forward, do we know kind of what the rest of the theater schedule is gonna look like? It used to be before COVID, right? This play would have been the musical.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
usually the stage play at the end, and we sort of flip that because of how COVID change things, and you guys did a musical at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm. The goal is usually to get in like a fall play and then a spring musical and senior 1X at the very end.
Right. Okay.
But instead we're doing a winter play, and the goal right now for the musical is, drumroll, Sweeney Todd.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I think we're kind of hoping that all works out. There's still some final details. We have to make sure we can get all the licensing to it.
Yeah.
If not, we've got backup plans in store. Like we said, you'll have to pry it from our dead hands. We're not giving up this year.
Right.
And then, like I said, it's just such a committed group. And I've got like a group chat going on with all the seniors that I'm running
yeah.
about the possibility of doing senior 1X, even if it means we have to go into the summer. Like
okay.
there's still people that want to be able to just give it that last hurrah and say goodbye. So
yeah, absolutely. At one point in COVID, you guys did them virtually, right? On YouTube, is that
yeah.
something that's potentially in the mix? Or
I don't necessarily think virtual would be the option again. Part
yeah.
of what's so amazing about this town is that we've just got a lot of space to go do stuff.
Right.
So like there's the area down by the pond, running
yeah.
out the fairgrounds, something like that. So yeah. even if we can't use this space, we'll find a way to get it done.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us want to do a Zoom show again.
Yeah. yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Well, guys, thank you so much for taking time out. We really look forward to seeing you guys here in just a couple of weeks and seeing all of your hard work.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Tyler, you're good at, like, counting and numbers and math and all that stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Like I always say, I'm 20% good-looking, 40% funny, and 60% great at math.
Wait, isn't that...
Why do you ask?
Oh, because I want to win the new DirectLink member appreciation contest, Barrel of Fun. If I guess the number of candies in the jar, I'll win a pair of Portland Trailblazers tickets.
Oh, Frankie, that's easy. All you have to do is watch the video and count up all the candies from top to bottom, then left to right, then you multiply by the integer, divide by x, and add up the square root of pi.
Oh, well, that does sound easy. Except there's like multiple different sizes of candy in the jar.
Okay, well then I'm out. So what other prizes are there?
Well, there's the Blazers tickets as the top prize, and then an Amazon Fire Stick, an Echo Dot, and a Game of Thrones themed cozy kit with a blanket, growler, and journal.
Wow, that is some pretty cool stuff. Just another way that DirectLink keeps its members in mind. I gotta watch that video so I can make my guess.
Yeah, any DirectLink member can visit www.directlink.coop/contest. To watch the video, check out the rules, and make your guess. The winners will be selected after the game concludes on November 30th.
Maybe it's 40% good looking and 60% bad at math.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee companies at Hope Village in Canby, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course. From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Canby. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's CURRENT, to 888-906-3432.
All right, we draw this episode to a close with the return of Canby Then, one of my favorite segments because I get to learn so much about the history of this beautiful little town of Canby. Canby Then is brought to you by Retro Revival. They're not your average antique shop, and they're open daily. You can find them on the corner of Northwest 3rd and Grant Street in downtown Canby, that's opposite Wake Park, or connect with them through email at retrorevivaloc@gmail.com. Well, as you know, things have been a little interesting around Clackamas County these days. So the crew here at Now Hear This Canby hasn't quite had the time to do our usual digging through the dusty tomes to discover the gems of local history that we love to share. But as it turns out, we've all just had the experience of living through history, and we wanted to share a few stories you probably hadn't heard. So our own Tyler Frankie, the man, the myth, the legend, took a recent trip to the Clackamas County Fairgrounds this week to hear from volunteers who have been caring for hundreds of people and thousands of animals evacuated from their homes due to the wildfires. And here's what we heard. They called it Noah's Ark, a small building on the Clackamas County Fairgrounds stuffed with dogs, cats, turtles, people, a rabbit, a dove, and a handicapped duck. Noah had it easier, though. He only had two of each. We had over 1,400 animals at one point, recalls Kurt Vandenbroek, a member of the all-volunteer Clackamas County Sheriff's Posse, a critical part of the annual county fair, as well as the impromptu one that was staged there as wildfires forced thousands to flee their homes with all manner of pets and livestock in tow. Goats, turkeys, there's pheasants in that barn over there, says Drew Cosland, standing behind the Red Gate at the fairgrounds on Saturday evening. We briefly step aside as a pickup truck carrying three people and 13 ducks, all bidding loud farewell, rolls by. Kausland, an iron worker and welder by trade, wears his trademark black cowboy hat with a large feather of some variety stuck in the band. As far as I know, it came from one of the ducks. More cattle and horses than anything, Kausland continues. It's been the most controlled chaos I've ever seen in my life. For Cowsland, the crisis began early. The night the fires broke out in Clackamas County, September 8th, he and his girlfriend, Angie Zeiss, got a call. "Hey, so do you have any trailers available?" Zeiss recalled with a laugh. It was neighbors needing to move over a dozen horses as flames spread rapidly westward and northward toward Malala, Colton, Estacada, and the surrounding rural communities. "Oh, we just scrambled," says Cowsland. "I called the fairgrounds. I think it was around 10. I said, hey, we're coming with horses. I've got 14 coming right now, and there's probably going to be a lot more." And we've been basically going since then. For Cowsland, for Zeiss, who is the 4-H pygmy goat superintendent, like her mother was before her, and for Vanderbrook and so many of the other volunteers, the fairgrounds feels almost as familiar as their own homes and stables. "We spent a lot of years down here," she says. "When all this happened, you know, this was home. We just pulled together. I don't know day from night at this point, but we'll be here till it's all over." I ask what the motivation that has been to keep them all going, and Cowsland is almost as confused by the question. "Well, people needed help," he said. "I mean, we've all said it multiple times, but this is what we do. 4-H, rodeo, it's all a big family. And it doesn't matter if you're blood or not, we'll do what we can to help you out." Considering that Noah's Ark was on the premises, perhaps the night crew should have not been surprised by the floods. It happened last Thursday as the much-anticipated rains finally brought some relief to weary crews battling wildfires aided by unbearably dry conditions. But the charred, bare earth wasn't ready to absorb the deluge, nor was the Clackamas County Fairgrounds stormwater system. "I was up to my knees in water," says Cole Carroll, then reconsiders. Probably a couple inches below my knees. "His boots are still drying," adds Cosland, who had been called to Montana for work at that time. The Rosebook Arena, which houses 20-some horses, flooded, and it fell to Carroll and a few other volunteers to get them out. "Oh, no, they weren't having it," Carroll said to one of the horses. "I got kicked. Whew! Still hurts." "Horning Hall flooded," says Zeiss. "It was nuts to see how much water was coming down. We thought we were at the tail end of it, but hey, you know what comes out of the tail end sometimes." And there have been moments of fun. One of Zeiss's first nights, an evacuee came up to her. "I know this is going to sound crazy, but I swear I just saw a chicken over there," she recalls the woman saying. It was not really a crazy proposition for Noah's Ark and all, and sure enough, the two women soon found a bush that was shaking suspiciously. "It squawks and takes off running," she says. "It wasn't a chicken, though. It was just a pheasant. They managed to catch it in the morning." They might not have caught the piglets that escaped on the other day if it not for Zeiss's 10-year-old daughter, Addison Hettinger. "She was the only one that could catch them," she says. "If you ever need exercise, go chase piglets." That wasn't all Addison was up to either. She also cleaned bathrooms, shoveled stalls, took the garbage out. "Oh, she's been busting her buns," says Zeiss. "Hardest working 10-year-old I know," added Cosland. For more tales from the Clackamas County Fairgrounds, find the story on our website, canbefirst.com. And tune in next time for Can Be Then. As always, friends, thank you so much for listening. I'm James Walton. Have a great day.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears? Even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or no. That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.